Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 3rd Chapter, and we're doing texts 2 through 7. So we'll chant 2, and then I'll just chant the others on my own. I'll read the word-for-word translation not responsively. I'll just read through it, and I'll read the translation, both of which are very long. We won't do that responsively. Then I'll read the purport. Okay, so text 2. Brahma varchasa kamastu. Brahma. Did I do Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? I can't remember. Did I chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I did it. Anyway, can't hurt to chant an extra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I guess. All right, so here we go. Brahma Varchasakamastu. Brahma Varchasakamastu. Yajeta Brahmanaha Patim. Yajeta Brahmanaha Patim. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Praja Kama Prajapatin. Praja Kama Prajapatin. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu. Yajeta Brahmana Patim. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Praja Kama Prajapatim. Others, please. Vaishnavis. No takers? Okay. All right, so I'll read the other verses. Devi mayam tu shri kamas tejas kamo vibhavasum vasu kamo vasun rudran virya kamo ta viryavan anadya kamas tu Svaditam svarga kamo dite sutan vishvan devan rajya kama sajyan samsadhako vishvam ayus kamo svinau devo pushti kama idam yajet patishta kama purusho rodasi lokamat mataro rupa Rupa bikamo gandharvan stidikamo sada urvasim adipacha kamas sarvesham yajeta paramestinam yagnam yajet yasas kama kosha kama prachetasam vijya kamas tu girisam damat yarta umam satem. Okay, word for end translations. Brahma, the absolute, Varchasa, effulgence, Kama too, but one who desires in that way, Yajeta, do worship, Brahmana, of the Vedas, Patim, the master, Indram, the king of heaven, Indriya Kama too, but one who desires strong sense organs, Praja Kama, one who desires many offspring, Prajapatin, the Prajetas, Devim, the goddess, Mayam, unto the mistress of the material world, too, but Sri Kama, one who desires beauty, Teja, power, Kama, one who so desires, Vibhavasum, the fire god, Vasu Kama, one who wants wealth, Vasun, the Vasu demigods, Rudran, the Rudra expansions of Lord Shiva, Virya Kama, one who wants to be very strongly built, Ata, therefore, Viryavan, the most powerful, Ana Adya, grains, Kama, one who so desires, too, but Aditim, Aditi, mother of the demigods, Svarga, heaven, Kama, so desiring, Adite Sutan, the son of Aditi, the sons of Aditi, Vishvan, Vishvadev, Devan, demigods, Rajya Kama, those who hanker for kingdoms, Sajan, the Saja demigods, Samsadhaka, what fulfills the wishes, Visham, of the mercantile community, Ayu Kama, desirous of long life, Ashvinau, the two demigods known as the Ashvini brothers, Devo, the two demigods, Pushti Kama, one who desires a strongly built body, Ilam, the earth, Yajet, must worship, Pratishta Kama, one who desires good fame, or stability in a post, Purusha, such men, Rodasi, the horizon, Lokamataro, and the earth, Rupa, beauty, Abhikama, positively aspiring for, Gandharvam, the residents of the Gandharva planet, who are very beautiful and are expert in singing, Stri Kama, one who desires a good wife, Apsara Urvasim, the society girls of the heavenly kingdom, Abhipatya Kama, one who desires to dominate others. Sarvesham, everyone. Yajeta, must worship. Parameshtinam, Brahma, the head of the universe. Yajnam, the personality of Godhead. Yajet, must worship. Yasaha Kamaha, one who desires to be famous. Kosha Kama, one who desires a good bank balance. Prachetasam, the treasure of heaven, known as Varuna. Vijayakama, too, but one who desires education. Girisam, the Lord of the Himalayas, Lord Shiva. Dampatya, Arta, and for conjugal love. Umam, Satim, the chaste wife of Lord Shiva, known as Uma. So I guess you can see now why I read that myself. It's kind of long. I always thought that the treasure of heaven was Kuvera, though. But anyway. So this is the translation, which once again I'll read myself and then the purport. Translation. One who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma, or Brihaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king Indra. And one who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called the Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire, and one who aspires only after money should worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grain should worship Aditi. One who desires to attain the heavenly planet should worship the sons of Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishvadev, and one who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship the Saja demigod. One who desires a long span of life should worship the demigods known as the Ashvini Kumaras, and a person desiring a strongly built body should worship the earth. One who desires stability in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires to be beautiful should worship the beautiful residents of the Gandharva planet. And one who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and the Urvasi society girls of the heavenly kingdom. One who desires domination over others should worship Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. If one desires to be greatly learned, he should worship Lord Shiva. And if one desires a good marital relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. There are different modes of worship for different persons desiring success in particular subjects. The conditioned soul, living within the purview of the material world, cannot be an expert in every type of materially enjoyable asset. But one can have considerable influence over a particular matter by worshiping a particular demigod, as mentioned above. Ravana was made a very powerful man by worshiping Lord Shiva, and he used to offer severed heads to please Lord Shiva. He became so powerful by the grace of Lord Shiva that all the demigods were afraid of him. Until he at last challenged the personality of Godhead, Sri Ramachandra, and thus ruined himself. In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all of the material objects of enjoyment, or the gross materialistic persons, are on the whole less intelligent, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Text 20. It is said there that those who are bereft of all good sense and those whose intelligence is withdrawn by the deluding energy of Maya aspire to achieve all sorts of material enjoyment in life by pleasing the various demigods or by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. The real problem of life in the material world is to solve the question of birth, death, old age, and disease. No one wants to change his birthright. No one wants to meet death. No one wants to be old or invalid, and no one wants diseases. But these problems are solved neither by the grace of any demigod nor by the so-called advancement of material science. In the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, such less intelligent persons have been described as devoid of all good sense. Sukadev Goswami said that out of the 8,400,000 species of living entities, the human form of life is rare and valuable. And out of those rare human beings, those who are conscious of the material problems are rarer still. And still more rare persons are those who are conscious of the value of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the messages of the Lord and His pure devotees. Death is inevitable for everyone, intelligent or foolish. But Prakrit Maharaj has been addressed by the Goswami as Manisi, or the man of highly developed mind, because at the time of death he left all material enjoyment and completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing his messages from the right person, Sukadev Goswami. But aspirations for material enjoyment by endeavoring persons are condemned. Such aspirations are something like the intoxication of the degraded human society. An intelligent person should try to avoid these aspirations and seek instead the permanent life by returning home back to Godhead. Om Gnata Mananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshurta Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swapadanti Kam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vikams Cha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jigapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vishavana Sate Divi Pranamami Hare Pare Vancha Kalpadirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanevya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuna Chananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudevi Govinda Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. So when I looked at the verse yesterday, you know, in preparing for class, I thought, whoa, what? This is like, I felt like, what's this doing here? And we just got finished hearing all these very serious instructions for the last few chapters about, you know, Sukadeva Goswami's instructing Maharaj Parikit how he has to, be very serious and fix his mind upon Krishna, get prepared to go back home, back to Godhead. Sukadeva Goswami himself said in the previous chapter in text 2, he said, the way of presentation of the Vedic sounds is so bewildering that it directs the intelligence of people to meaningless things like the heavenly kingdoms. The conditioned souls hover in dreams of such heavenly, illusory pleasures, but actually they do not relish any tangible happiness in such places. So, you know, in so many words, Sukadeva Goswami has already condemned the pursuit of material enjoyment, you know, in his previous instructions. So I was thinking, well, why is he going back to that now? Well, he's not really. It's not being in the mood. He's not, presenting this whole long list of possible benedictions one can aspire for in the mood of, well, you know, maybe you'd like this Maharaj Parikit, or maybe you'd like that, or maybe you're interested in, no. It's just like formality. He's kind of leading up to his real point is, which we'll hear in the verses to come, that one shouldn't be interested in any of this stuff. And Prabhupada, of course, once you read the purport, Prabhupada makes that point right away, that one shouldn't be interested in any of this stuff. Sukadeva Goswami is not trying to encourage Maharaj Parikit or interest Maharaj Parikit in pursuing, you know, any of these, getting any of these types of benedictions. No, quite the contrary. As we'll hear, as I said, in verses to come. And also, Prabhupada in his purport quotes Krishna. You know, Krishna has to say in the Bhagavad Gita about this type of thing, about pursuing material benedictions, you know, trying to get material benedictions from the demigods. So I'll just read a few verses from the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna gives his opinion about the overall value of trying to get benefit of benedictions from the demigods. He says, and this is the verse that's referred to in the purport. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow their particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. I am in everyone's heart as the super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. He does that. Krishna says he does that. Not that he says he thinks it's a good idea, but he does do that. And then Krishna goes on to say, endowed with such faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. And here it comes. Krishna says, men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme abode. So Krishna's giving his opinion there. He says that people who do that, they're of small intelligence. They should understand that the fruits are limited and temporary. Further on in the ninth chapter, Krishna has a few more things to say about worshiping the demigods for material benedictions. He says that, once again, he makes the point in 9:23 that those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in the wrong way. And he goes on to make the point that he's the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Those who do not recognize his true transcendental nature fall down. In other words, Krishna is discouraging. He doesn't think not a good idea. It's not a good idea to worship the demigods in the hopes of receiving material benedictions. Because even if you're successful at getting those benedictions, as Krishna said, they're limited, they're temporary, they don't solve the problem. You know, there's that verse in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Jagyar tat kamano nyatra loko yam karma bandana tadartam karma kunteya mukta sangha samachada, that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to the material nature. See? So it's not karmic free. You know, when you're worshiping the demigods, that doesn't get you out of the cycle. You know, it doesn't free you from the cycle of birth and death. It doesn't free you from material bondage. What to speak of, engaging in, as Prabhupada mentioned here in the purport, scientific advancement, trying to do the same thing, aspiring for material enjoyment by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. So those efforts certainly don't, are free one from the cycle of birth and death, and neither do the efforts of trying to please various demigods. So it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Sukadeva Goswami is not actually recommending or trying that Maharaj Prakrit do this, and Krishna, neither is Krishna. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, he discourages it. Not a good idea. So what is a good idea? It's all these different nice benedictions. It's not a good idea to pursue any of those things, but what is a good idea, as we'll be hearing in verses to come, is to try to engage in devotional service. Actually, I'll just skip ahead here a little bit just to make the point. Of all different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction. All the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction unflinchingly fixed at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. So that's really what we should be interested in, attaining unflinching, spontaneous attraction unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's done by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. And all these other things are really something that we don't want to have much to do with, shouldn't be interested in. So I had an interesting realization about devotional service the other morning. I was chanting my japa on the roof of the Trader Joe's parking lot, just down there. And it was a very, nice, clear sky morning. And it's up there. It's kind of about five stories up. And I was looking in all the different directions. And, it was nice and it was warm. There was no wind like this morning. And it was just like a kind of an ideal atmosphere. And I just thought to myself, wow, there's definitely got to be a God. How can anybody even think that? Look at it. Look at all this. This is such an amazing arrangement. It's so vast. It's beautiful. And I just remembered, things like, the trees take in carbon dioxide and they give off oxygen. The human body's doing all sorts of incredible stuff that, nobody's even aware of it. I mean, it's just definitely like a really wonderful intelligence behind this whole thing, this whole world and, manifestation of life and everything. And then I thought to myself, that seems right. That feels right. It felt right. It sounded right. I said, but there's so much suffering. I said, what's the deal with that? The age-old question. I was chanting my japa, as I was, couldn't help but these kind of thoughts are just kind of popping in my head there. And then an image came to my mind, and that image was of a big placard, and it said, "Sinners repent." As I was looking more, focusing more on that image, was being held by one of those Christian guys, that that we see that come and harass us when we do the Ratha Yatra. And I thought to myself, what the heck? What the heck is that? And I realized, that's it. That's the answer. Those guys got it right as far as that goes. Sinners repent. In other words, that's what all the suffering is all about. We're in this material world because it's a penitentiary. We did something wrong. And so as far as that goes, they got it right. Sinners repent. And those, what human beings are supposed to do when they're in this material world is perform penance. Right? Perform penance. This is like a penitentiary. And that's there's so much suffering because this is not meant to be a place of enjoyment. You know, this is not the spiritual world. The spiritual world is a place of enjoyment. The spiritual world is Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Right? There's no suffering in the spiritual world. Right? But here in the material world, we're supposed to be, two things are supposed to be happening here in the material world. You're getting punished for the reactions to your sinful activities, so that's there. But also, you're supposed to learn, at least in the human form of life, we're supposed to learn a lesson. We're supposed to learn a lesson. So, and that's where the penance comes in. See? So as human beings, we're supposed to be performing penance. And when we don't perform penance, because the human form of life is specifically meant for that purpose, then Krishna just, you know, he kind of turns the dial a little bit, or he just ratchets up the suffering. You know, okay, he's supposed to get the message, perform penance. You don't get, okay, well, here, have a COVID. Or that's not enough. Have some, you know, protests and race riots. And if people don't get the message, okay, we'll be attacked by China. Here's an earthquake. You know, Krishna knows, get it. Start using the human form of life to for what it's meant for, perform penance. And that, what is that penance? It's just devotional service. Krishna says in the second canto, and we're coming up to this, I think it's chapter 9, that penance is not different from himself. You know, this performance of devotional service. No, you don't. If you can do nirjalan, pandava nirjal ekadasi, great. That's certainly penance, or every ekadasi. But if you can't do that, don't worry. Just by doing what we're doing, you're performing penance. Just the basic performance of devotional service is penance. So in other words, we're doing exactly what a human being is supposed to be doing here in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We're doing exactly what a human being is supposed to be doing. And just to simplify it, I kind of broke it down to, if you have to like prioritize it, our penance is chant, right? Chant, follow, attend, and serve. I like this. That's where my mind works. I really simplify things. Chant, that's the top priority. That's the first penance. The first like installment of penances. We're meant to chant. You know, I guess a lot of people have preconceived ideas of what the word penance means. When I hear penance, I think of, as I said, somebody fasting, somebody being in some very uncomfortable condition. But that, once again, that's a preconceived idea. The correct conception of the correct understanding of penance is what we're given to us by our spiritual master. So our penances, we're doing penance properly, or a person, a human being, in this day and age, in the Kali Yuga, is doing penance properly if they chant Hare Krishna, right? Follow the four regulative principles. That's a really good foundation right there. If in addition to that, if they take association, the devotees hear Srimad Bhagavatam and worship the deities and like that, and then engage in some service, that's it. Boom. You're finished. You're complete. That's all the penance you need to do. And then your life is successful. So, if you stop and think about it, this is a very practical thing for one to do with one's life, because now there's all these problems in the world. There's this whole, the pandemic, and then now this racial tension and so forth. What can we do about that? The devotional service is Krishna consciousness, very practical, a very practical way to focus and utilize your energy. As I remember, I heard Savas give a class years ago. He was talking about how there's a sphere of interest. You have a sphere of concern, and then you have a sphere of influence. And I think he got this from Peter Burwash. And it's recommended that you spend like 90% of your energy, time and energy, in your sphere of influence, where you can actually do something. You know, we only have a certain amount of energy and attention. So why put it out there in your sphere of interest, which you can't do anything about, or even your sphere of concern, you can't do, but in the sphere of influence, focus on what you can actually do something about. So that's what we do. It's very practical being a devotee, because we're focusing on what we can do something about, change our own lives. And we change our own lives by doing these activities, chanting, following the regulative principles, attending the program, and doing some service. And if we just take shelter of those things, we're in good shape. And another point is it might be if you ever were considering getting serious about devotional service, this might be a good time to do it. Yeah? This very well might be a good time to do it because it's getting more and more crazy out there. I mean, I'll just give you one example. Everybody knows, has many of their own. But a couple of days ago, I was, just looking at a video to keep. I like to keep on top, with the news, what's going on. So I saw this one video, and it was showing an incident that happened in Buffalo just a couple of days ago. There was, one of these protest marches there, and so there's a lot of police out. To kind of make sure everything stayed peaceful or whatever. So the police were out there, and then the video clip showed this old man. They said he was 75. He walked up to these two policemen, and he started talking to them. And he wasn't, like, right in their face, and he wasn't going like this, He just, like, kind of like a gentleman. He walked up. He was kind of close to him, but, I mean, I guess he wanted to be heard. And he walked up, and and they were young, and he walked up, and he started talking to him. And this was going on. He talked like maybe 30 seconds. I think he was kind of like doing the talking. And then another policeman came up from behind the two policemen, and he came up with his baton. What they call club. He came up with his club, and he went like that, to the old guy. And he didn't kind of like, keep going. He didn't like run him to the ground or anything like that. He just hit him once. But that was enough because this guy was 75 years old. So he hit him back. He went back and he lost his balance, And he lost his balance and he fell back. And he just fell right back and he landed on his head. Okay? And there he is lying on the ground. And you can see in the video, the blood came out of the guy. He immediately started bleeding and blood was coming. So then that's there. And then these policemen, they just walked right by. And I went, oh, my God. I was like, Hare Krishna. I was like, in other words, and there was one policeman who attempted to bend down. Not necessarily, and you could see, because you can watch, the video is probably still up there. It wasn't so much in a mood of like, how can I help you? This is horrible. This wasn't supposed to happen. No, he just kind of like bent down and looked, almost like looking out of curiosity, like, what's the story here, And another policeman came and pushed him along. And I went, oh my, this is wow. What's that verse? Kalim Sattva Haram Pum Sam. This Kali Yuga destroys all the good qualities of a human being. I mean, I just thought to myself, what's going on in their head? Where are you guys at? Are you for real? I couldn't believe it. It kind of snapped me out of an illusion. I thought people had more intelligence than that. I mean, first of all, there was no reason for that one policeman to push him. And then when they saw the guy lose his, they immediately should have came to his assistance. They immediately should have went, uh-oh, sorry, sir. We weren't trying to knock you down. I'm really sorry about that. And try to help him. When they saw he was bleeding, one of them should have immediately pulled out his cell phone and called 911. Right? Am I right? I mean, to try to help him. Nope. They just walked right by, and left the guy lying on the floor, 75-year-old man with his head bleeding. So, oh my goodness. So point being that, as I said, if you want to get serious about Krishna consciousness, this is a good time because it's crazy. I mean, Kali Yuga is really kind of speeding up. I mean, I remember as a younger devotee, a lot of times I would think to myself, man, I really like Krishna consciousness, but boy, Prabhupada sometimes it seems like maybe he's like a little over the top on how negative he is about material life. I mean, it's pretty nice. Well, because I'm living here in America at the time, or Australia, which is kind of the same. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem that bad. I mean, I know it's bad, but it seems like it, But as time is going on, more and more I'm getting the realization that Prabhupada knew exactly what he was talking about. I mean, the facade is just kind of like evaporating, and we're seeing the material energy for what it is. It's hellish. I mean, so anyway, so as I said, if you're ever considering yeah, you know, getting serious about Krishna conscious devotional service, now is a really good time. The cat's out of the bag, in other words. That's the expression I was looking for. The cat's out of the bag. Even for us who are living here in the United States, who may have been thinking, who lived through the good old days, you know, the America in the 60s and the 70s, you know, I mean, you can't even kid yourself anymore. That's the point I'm trying to make. At least, you know, if somebody was really smart, even then you'd understand that everything Prabhupada would say was spot on. But if you're a little bit, like, sentimental, you might be able to kid yourself into thinking, well, you know, it's not, but not now. I don't think, you can't even kid yourself now into thinking that, yeah, material life is, you know, is this a chance of being happy here? No. So this is a good time to get serious about Krishna consciousness. And as I said, you know, earlier part of the class, what we're doing is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. This is it. This is the perfection. Prabhupada gave us, you know, this, and we basically just have to focus right on and exactly what Prabhupada gave us. Chanting, following the principles, you know, associating with the devotees in the form of coming to the program and hearing the Bhagavatam and et cetera like that, and then just doing our service. And if we just follow with that, we'd like to see as many other people as possible join us doing that. And if they do, wonderful. And if they don't, Hare Krishna. You know, we're going to do it anyway. We're in this for the long run. I mean, it's kind of like, at least that's how I'm thinking. I'm doing this till hopefully my last breath. And if hundreds and thousands of people come and want to also take up this, wonderful. And if they don't, we'll just do it by ourselves. So, anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah.
Yeah, I just have a comment to make. I was just noticing, kind of like in the same vein of what you were saying, is that, you know, we look at like the history of Los Angeles, 92, similar thing, 64, similar thing. There's this perennial problem that's been taking place in the form of race riots within America for a very long time. And it even goes back longer than that, all over America. And then there's also, you know, pandemics. This isn't something new. There's a bubonic plague that spread throughout Europe. There is a Spanish flu that spread throughout the world. So these are perennial problems. And then it's not like that, like Sira Prabhu was saying last week, they're going to keep coming back. So, like you were saying, now is a really good time to take devotional service, because we ultimately need, like, you know, a one-stop shop to kind of just solve it all, because these things are going to keep coming back. They're not going to go away.
Well, you just made a good point that actually it's always been a good time. Because these things are always happening. It's not like this is anything new is happening, really. It happens. But tell me if you ever have seen this happen. If you spill by accident some Coca-Cola, something like that, on the sidewalk, and you notice, like, if you go back there some time later, there'll be like an army of ants around there. You know, somehow or another they figure out it's there, and they just, because that's exactly what they want. So if you go there with like a, you know, like an object, like a hammer or something like that. You don't hit the ants, but you just bang the hammer right near there. They'll all split. You know, they're smart enough to know that, uh-oh, danger, and they, you know, they head for the hills. But then within about a minute, they're back again. So that's like what's going on in human society. These things happen, and people get really freaked out for a short period of time, and then they, you know, but then they just forget. And then everything comes back to normal. You watch. Within a few months from now, we just went through the pandemic and all this, you know, racial unrest and everything. And within a couple of months, it's going to be like forgotten, just like 9/11. After 9/11, everybody was really freaked out. Nah, you know. But then it took a few months and things were back to normal. So the point is that it's always a good time to get serious about devotional service. And actually what we have to combat against is our own forgetfulness. You know, Maya has those potencies, Prakshikatmika and Avanaratmika. That's the real danger. That's the real thing we got to worry about, those two potencies. And the way to combat that is we have to try to be serious ourselves, and we have to encourage each other. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to live in the association of the devotees. He gave that example about if you have a single stick, you can break it, but if you have a whole big bundle, it's hard. See? So that's the heart. We're supposed to bundle here. We're supposed to be a bundle. so that it makes it harder for Maya to break us. And also, you know, if somebody's getting weak, somebody who's kind of strong, encourage. We're supposed to encourage each other, help each other make it through. That's the purpose of association. You want to say something more?
Yeah, just that same point that you just made, that Vaisheshika Prabhu talks about how in, like, investing, in, like, accounting, there's this principle of the law of diminishing intent. Basically, when someone takes out a loan, between the time they take out the loan and the time they pay back the loan, the longer that time is, the less likely that they're to pay back that loan. So as time goes on, after, you know, we have these, like you're saying, the bang of the hammer. As time goes on, it's just people kind of creep back into the same way of things. So we have to be constantly reiterating with ourselves that these things are always happening, and trying to be vigilant in how they're taking place on a small scale. And then when these big things happen, we have to take them into consideration.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Speaking, Papa encourages to do. And if he wasn't all,